A Square of One's Own. Memoirs of the Budsbury Circle by Lytton Strychnine. Chapter 4. A Study in Hysteria. Ever in the vanguard of intellectual life ourselves, our circle was also instrumental via the Budsbury Press in introducing a wider audience to the pioneering ideas of others. Most notably, perhaps, when publishing The Interpretation of Dreams, whose author, Sigmund Freud, we invited to England to meet his admiring public.
There, mit best wishes, Dr. Sigmund Freud. Next.
Can you inscribe it to Vanessa, darling?
To Vanessa, darling?
No.
Mit best wishes, Dr. Sigmund Freud.
Thank you, darling. Oh, you've got such a sensual signature, you know. Mm-hmm. The loop in that G.
9 is sign of insecurity. Indicates I'm wishing to return to the womb.
Oh, of course. Still, believe me, I'm a painter, you know. And I'd say you've got a definite artistic bent.
What's this bent? Somebody been on the fiddle?
Oh, hello, Johnny. I was just saying to the Herr Doctor how sinuously he writes, looping like a serpent.
Serpent? Perhaps you have a point, Mrs. Darling. The snake, rich in symbolic meaning.
I know, darling. I'm starting to think it's true what they say about men with bald heads.
9 is not true at all.
No.
9, they're not all intellectual. But the snake, yeah, symbol of wisdom and knowledge.
Vanessa, here you are.
Clive, my husband, Dr. Freud.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Darling.
What?
Take no notice, Clive. The chap's just trying to be friendly.
Yeah, anyway, came to see if you're ready to pack up. No point hanging around now. All the doctor's admirers seem to have drifted off.
You're telling me off their rockers, some of them.
9, not mad, but neurotic, most certainly.
Oh, which reminds me, Ginny's bash.
I was coming to that, Johnny. Dr. Freud, Mrs. Wolfe is hosting a soiree in your honour. Would you?
I should be very privileged. Though I must retire early. My train for Birmingham is at 9 tomorrow morning.
I'll give you a lift to the station.
You're most kind.
On the way, I can pump you about these book signings. Damn good idea. Might have one for my next tome.
You are a writer?
Economist for my sins. Stuck with the student textbook market. Still, getting one of the city bookshops might shift a few. Whoops! And if I land the Nobel this year...
Oh, I shall never understand economics.
Why then, you must buy Dr. Coyne's book.
I'll have to put you on commission.
Johnny, if you're quite done, soiree.
Virginia's legendary soirees have been much calumnied. The reading of memoirs and playing of charades were never, as the ignorant would have it, frivolous entertainments, but a means of grappling with the great questions of existence, as even the meanest spirit must have conceded that night.
Oh, I adore playing consequences! Come on, read it out!
Quiet, Vanessa! Lord Nelson met Lily Langtry in... a public lavatory, really, Lytton.
It wasn't Lytton. I put that.
He said to her, do you come here often? She said to him, do you come here often?
We have, as ever, sought to new heights of invention.
Yes.
Quiet. The consequence was... consequence. Sequent. Con... segue, mixture and merging. Have I got that right, Virginia?
Consequent, mix, merge, osmosis of time and place in sensation. Sequent, con.
Jolly good. The consequence was that, and the world said... the usual pack of lies.
That's Lytton, I'll take my oath.
Oh. Anyway, very enjoyable.
Yes, absolutely.
Again?
Well, why not? Yes. So keen an intellect as our distinguished guest will no doubt welcome the stimulation.
Indeed, Herr Strychnine. Your delightful game reminds me of my practice in Vienna.
Well, I had heard something of the sort, but dismissed it.
9 is all true. Free association is the easiest way to liberate the mind and the creativity.
Really? I know. Let's liberate ours. Oh, come on.
Very well, but be warned. Where we are to travel is a hazardous journey. to the innermost recesses of the psyche.
Shackled as I am by the sullen chains of language, I can describe what happened next only by means of the following admittedly somewhat surrealistic imagery, which I employ with some trepidation, trusting that the artistic methods of Signor Dali and others have familiarized my audience with the technique.
Meine Damen und Herren, take your seats if you dare for the incredible journey to the unconscious.
We're going into a tunnel!
Yes!
Oh, yes! Monstrous, a tunnel! No!
Stop! At once! Yes, enough's enough!
And now, the lucky dip. Who will be first? Yes, madam. Let's see what you pick.
Me? Oh, oral fixation.
And you, sir?
Self-loathing projected onto the entire world.
And madame?
Trauma. Childhood trauma. Adolescent trauma. Adult trauma.
Yes, well done, all three.
Hysteria, neurosis, repression, suppression, displacement, oral and anal fixation. Oh, and...
Yes?
Fear of spiders.
Bravo! Now, leave everything behind and come with me on another ride.
Well,
are we going back?
Who knows?
The historian, who is also, so to speak, at the birth of events, is uniquely placed to analyze them. That he then, as it were, loses the baby is vexing, but need cast no shadow on his credibility so long as he applies the method of imaginative reconstruction to himself as well as to others, which is how I shall, perforce, relate this chapter henceforth.
Good morning, Mom.
Oh, isn't it, Nash? I've had a marvellous new idea for a book, and I've bashed out 2,000 words already.
I thought you sounded cheerful, Mom.
Well, it's a romantic comedy. I was just going to do a straightforward boy meets girl, but the jokes kept coming in.
Indeed, Mom.
Like this one. She says, "Good morning, Mr. Wright, or may I call you Orlando?" He says, "My friends call me All for short." She says, "All right. All right, you see. Orlando Wright!"
I'm sure it reads most amusingly, Mom. Tea, Mom?
Oh, just plonk it down, Nash. I've got a crack on.
Yes, Mom.
All right.
Ah, good morning, Nash. Mrs. Sockville Pest and I are in the Mauve room if breakfast is ready.
I'll go and get Virginia.
Where are the others?
Dr. Coins gave Dr. Fraud a lift to the station, sir.
And my wife?
I understood Mrs. Pill to say that she was off to combat the Antichrist, sir.
What?
With the Salvation Army. As for Mr. Strickland...
Oh, never mind him now. What's all this about Vanessa?
I have only the vaguest detail, sir. She rose early and took a cab for Islington, explaining that the end was nigh and that we should repent of our sins.
Oh, it's Virginia! She's just...
What?
She's just told me a joke! It's dreadful!
The one about Orlando Wright? Not to everyone's taste, perhaps, ma'am, but...
Not the joke, you fool! Virginia! She's taken leave of her...
senses, ma'am, for want of a better word.
It's Johnny, confounded racket.
Exactly. One might as well be living in Barmanzell.
I'll let him in. He appears to be somewhat agitated.
Ah, glad I got you. I'll need a bit of muscle power. Come on, Vita. You too, Clive.
What on earth's the matter, Johnny?
It's Lytton. I've just seen him in the middle of Southampton Row.
Well, so what?
He's directing the traffic.
What?
Open the windows and you'll see, or at least hear. Come on, before somebody gets killed.
My audience will by now have perceived that the previous night's psychoanalysis session had, in the time-honoured phrase, gone horribly wrong. Happily, those least affected amongst our group were the ones of, let us say, a more decisive, by which I do not mean to imply any want of reflection, cast of mind.
We're stuck. Turn right here, Johnny, and left at the end.
No, next left and then right.
No, right.
Left, you...
Hang on, nothing coming. I'll go straight.
Johnny, we're on the wrong side of the...
Ooh! Here he is.
In a hurry, are we, sir?
All right, Lytton, that's enough nonsense. Get in.
P.C. Strychnine, if you don't mind, sir.
All right, constable, in you get.
This will go very badly with you, you
know,
sir.
Come on, Johnny, I've got him. Go!
You are not obliged to say anything, but anything you do say will be taken to...
That's it, Vita, sit on him. Now, Clive, you wanted to be dropped off at the Angel.
Meanwhile, what of Budsbury Square? As the poet Milton has it, they also serve who only stand and wait.
Hello, University Bookshop, Birmingham.
Hello, I have an urgent message for Dr. Fraud. Please ask him to telephone Budsbury 1212 as soon as he arrives. He must speak to... Which one's the sane one? Mr. Nash, or Dr. Coins if Mr. Nash is unavailable. I am obliged to you. Oh, peace, perfect peace. Anything else, ma'am? No, just another typewriter ribbon for my next opus, Nash. Get on with some polishing, then, shall I, ma'am? No, Nash? Why not put your feet up? Well, if you're sure, ma'am.
Is there another typewriter ribbon down there, Nash?
I'll bring it up presently, ma'am. Don't hold your breath. Oh, knew it was too good to last. Oh, welcome back. I see you managed to find Mr. Strychnine.
Constable Strychnine! Oh. I now see why I've been called to investigate. Hold on, madam. I'll be right there.
Nash! That was Virginia's Wedgwood vase you hit him with.
Happily, it is undamaged, ma'am.
Oh, well.
As for Mr. Strychnine, I deemed it best to incapacitate him before things took a more melodramatic turn. You will observe he has armed himself with a makeshift truncheon.
You did well, Nash. Better safe than sorry. What can we do with him now?
I suggest the ultramarine room, sir. He can lie down for a while.
Good idea. Does that room have a lock?
It won't be necessary, sir. I'll look out one of Mrs. Wolfe's old straitjackets.
It's at times like this, Nash, you realise there's no substitute for experience.
How true, sir.
I don't suppose you've got a spare one of those jackets, in case Clive strikes lucky up in Islington.
I wondered where he was, sir. No, that should be no problem.
Virginia! What have you done to her? I'm coming!
Careful, Vita, don't let her out just yet.
Clive's unhappy sojourn in Islington is too distressing to recount in detail. The exhortations to salvation, the brass bands, the tambourines, his wife's metamorphosis from Mrs. Pill to Major Vanessa, his abject appeals, her robust defiance of them, the consequent scuffles from which he needed all his ingenuity to extricate himself. To reiterate, this is too distressing to recount in detail, so I shall not. It is sufficient to say that his mission was, thankfully, successful.
Ginny's still at it.
The company of Mrs. Sockville Pest seems to have pacified her, sir.
Yes, no accounting for taste. How's she doing for typewriter ribbons?
Amply supplied, sir.
Let's just hope she doesn't plait them up and top herself.
The likelihood is happily remote, sir. Mrs. Wolfe is in as sanguine a mood as I have seen her.
Ah, looks like Clive. Better stand by with the,
Garment, sir?
Yes. Then we'll just have to wait on Fraud getting back to us.
Yes, sir. If you hold the straps back, sir, I'll let Mr. and Mrs. Pill in. Good afternoon, sir, madam.
Good afternoon, Nash. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, ma'am.
Johnny, lend me 5 shillings for the taxi.
5 bob from Islington. Daylight robbery.
He says it's extra for the tambourine. Thank you.
Praise the Lord! I'm saved! But Clive is cast into the outer darkness! There!
Let me in!
Now, Vanessa, if you could just put your arm in here. Nash, give me a hand.
No! Praise the Lord! I'm free!
Vanessa, let Nash go. That's a good girl.
My strength is as the strength of 10. Thanks be to the Lord!
Nash!
What's all this noise? Noise, noise, noise! My boy and girl are separated by fate, and how can I reconcile them with all this noise? Shut up!
Ginny, don't answer that. It'll be for me or Nash. Ginny, don't pull that wire.
Ha ha! Now love triumphs over all.
I have never subscribed to the shallow view that adversity alone brings forth unsuspected qualities in a person's character. To the biographer, such qualities are always apparent, if in embryonic form. And indeed, throughout this tumultuous time, our circle behaved precisely as one might have expected.
Wretched man.
Fraud, you mean?
It's all his fault.
Yes, mark you, Virginia invited him.
Don't blame Virginia, her suffering at the brute's hands.
Yes, though she did rip the telephone out.
Only when goaded beyond endurance by Vanessa's antics.
Steady on. Poor Vanessa's an innocent victim of all this, too.
You're quite right, Clive. We mustn't tear at each other's throats.
Quite. Besides, if anybody's responsible for all this tomfoolery, it's...
Litton.
Yes.
Quite.
See?
Ah, Johnny, how is Vanessa?
She's in the sepia room, sedated.
Sedated? What with?
A barbiturate tablet, sir. Left over from the recent visit of Miss Man-Man.
Got to be cruel to be kind. The same thing goes for the chloroform. Marvellous stuff, by the way. Ginny starts acting up again.
Chloroform, Virginia? How dare you? You'll have to chloroform me first.
Hmm. Well, in any case, Ginny's good as gold for the Mo bashing away at her cereal.
Yes, question is, what are we going to do?
Well, Fraud's left some of his collected works in his room. I suggest you sit down, plough your way through, bound to find something between you.
Between? What will you be doing?
Well, a friend of mine's a top man at Coney Hatch Loony Bin. Thought I'd pump him. On the QT, of course.
But...
Don't want it getting in the Daily Mail. We'd be a laughing stock. I'll let myself out.
Typical Johnny.
Yes. Leave everything to us.
Our circle held the intellectual ideal to be that of the Renaissance, rejecting the cramped horizons of the specialist for the wider perspectives of the truly educated mind, the mind that sweeps aside confusing detail to focus unerringly on the essence of a matter.
Oh, all this mumbo-jumbo. Totems? I thought that was what Red Indians danced around.
And the man's got a mind like a sewer. Entire chapter here devoted to... You know, how we learn to...
What?
To go to the lavatory.
Ew. Surely there's an index.
Good idea. Vanessa joins the Salvation Army. Saving souls. Obviously got...
The Salvation Complex.
Brilliant. Ew. Let's see. S. Sexuality. Sublimated libido. Nothing about Vanessa at all.
Let's see what it says about Lytton's policeman complex, then. P. Pathology, perversion.
It's hopeless.
Pointless.
Useless.
Pathetic.
Ploppy. What is it, Nash? Found anything?
It occurs to me, sir, that you have just been engaging in a form of word association.
What?
A method recommended by Dr. Fraud to identify and release...
Yes, Nash, we know that. It's what started this trouble in the first place.
I beg your pardon, sir. You were no doubt about to experiment with the method on Mrs. Pill and Mr. Strychnine, and I interrupted your train of thought.
Yes, you did, rather.
Never mind. Tidy these books up, will you, while we go and...
What's the word?
Do it!
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Debate rages to this day as to the ideal conditions in which a session of psychotherapy should be conducted. Consider, then, that Clive and Vita were coming fresh to what was, by any lights, a fledgling science, and let us not judge their well-meaning efforts by the sternest professional standards.
Vanessa, are you awake? What?
I think she said something about her gag.
Yes, darling, we'll take it off just now. First of all, we're going to say various words, and you must answer with the first thing you think of. Got that? Good. I'll tell you the sort of words you must think of. They're about painting. You're a painter.
And not a religious maniac.
Certainly not. Now, ready, Vita? I'll say the word, and you release the gag.
Right.
First, oils. Oils.
He shall anoint my head with oils and...
Oh, dear. Landscape.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of...
Oh, dear. Maybe if I try one or two of the technical words. Perspective. Proportion.
I don't think she'd ever heard of those anyway.
No. Oh, well, we're going to let you rest now, darling. Come on, quick.
True genius shows itself not in the attainment of victory, but in the reaction to defeat. A fact which Clive and Vita were to prove that day, time and again.
Do you really think this will work, Clive?
Honestly, Vita? No.
Oh.
But if we don't try and it works, we'd wish we had.
Even if it hadn't?
Quite. After all, music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, or chest in Lytton's case. Ready? After two. One,
two. Who would do like to be beside the seaside? Who would do like to be beside the sea? Who would do like to stroll along the prom, 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 where the brass band plays
tiddly-om-bom-bom.
Virginia, what are you...
I come to sing!
Virginia, you mustn't overtire yourself.
Yes, what about that novel you're writing?
Finished. It was only 40,000 words after all.
Yes,
I want to sing.
I've got her.
That woman's being abducted. Help! Stop! Stop the woman thief!
Really, what will the neighbours think?
He is the neighbour, Vito.
Oh, well, thank heaven for small verses.
Another song. Oh, there was I waiting at the church.
This is for your own good, Virginia.
And this is for yours, Litton. Oh, dear. What can we do now?
We'll think of something, Vita. If the country's most perceptive art critic and her finest landscapist cannot between them devise a solution, then it's a...
pity.
Exactly, Vita. So come on, think. Think, think, think.
Alas, the weakness in the intellectual's armory is that thought is ipso facto a rational endeavour. When the object of that rational endeavour is irrationality, a leap of empathy is required for which the rational mind often proves unfitted.
Oh, these wretched books want burning. Poisonous man. He may be very clever.
I doubt it, Vita. After all, we're clever.
Yes?
We don't understand them. Ergo, they're nonsense.
You're absolutely right, Clive.
If you can't say what you want to say without this interminable waffle, then you're a...
moron. A cretin.
I was going to say a semi-educated charlatan, but more on will do. After all, life is fundamentally simple. If you can't or won't express it simply...
it's a sign of trickery.
Exactly. We're not talking about genuinely complex issues here, like criticism or...
landscapism.
Quite. I'm not saying any Tom, Dick or Harry could understand them, not without going to Cambridge.
Or gardening classes.
Exactly. Oh, Vita, everyone says that genius and madness are only a knife edge apart, so...
why can't we just put them back together?
Oh, it's Johnny.
Johnny!
Quick, don't let him get away.
Goyne's maxim, low inflation is the dead man's friend, is only the most celebrated example of his penchant for conveying highly abstract ideas in the succinct vernacular. It was an enviable gift, if at times insufficiently appreciated.
My friend reckons it's as easy as pie. Hypnotise him, tell him everything's rosy, wake him up, 5 guineas, Bob's your uncle. Proper little gold mine.
Yeah, we must exercise due caution. Suppose we make things worse.
Worse? Hardly likely, is it?
True. All the same, before we try it on Vanessa...
or Virginia.
Let's see how it works on Lytton.
Fair enough. Biggest danger, so this chap was telling me, is transference.
Transference?
Yes, raises terrible ethical dilemmas. Patient falls in love with the analyst.
Johnny, you mustn't take advantage of Lytton's unfortunate condition.
Chance would be a fine thing. Apparently you can't get them to go against their deepest inclinations.
Hardly seems much point in it, then. Are they sure?
Why?
I'm just thinking of Vanessa's inclinations.
Well, we can ask her to treat you better. Let's wait and see after we've done Lytton.
Suppose he won't fall asleep. After all, he's been extremely stubborn all day.
He won't be able to resist. We'll take the clock up to soothe him, and then we'll take it in turns to read to him.
But won't that just stimulate him?
No, I thought we'd take one of Ginny's novels. 3 pages of that, he'll be out like a light. When it's Vanessa's turn, I was thinking Clive's memoirs. Oh. Chapter 4 should do the trick. Come on.
I have never been of a sentimental nature, but even so... tears come unbidden as I recollect that day when my friends displayed such touching concern for me.
The geranium. Visible colours. Colouring the air of colours.
Vita, wake up. Clive, you... well... Lytton, I'm going to keep on reading myself until you fall asleep. Lytton? Oh, about time. Now listen, Lytton. When you wake, you will remember nothing of the past 24 hours. You will be exactly the same kindly, idealistic, delightful man as ever. But from now on, especially dear to you will be your old friend...
Collins!
Yes, me.
Stop pawing at me, will you?
Oh, it is true. You can't make them do anything against their better judgment.
I'm on duty. Where's my whistle?
Oh, dear. Back to the drawing board. Clive, Vita.
What? What's that? What?
Ah, oh, there you are, sir. Dr. Fraud has unexpectedly returned.
Yeah, from Birmingham.
Hip hip!
Hurrah!
Hip hip!
Hurrah!
Hurrah!
Hip hip! Hurrah!
When they say the English are a cold race.
It is a salutary thought for the expert that he is distinguished from the laity less by his familiarity with the principles of his calling, which are as often as not common knowledge, than by his practical judgment in applying those principles. About which, as Fraud explained, next day, in Virginia's garden, the less the public know, the better for everyone.
Extraordinary. Wanting to be a policeman.
Perhaps it is a biographical impulse.
Oh, maybe.
You have a secret desire to get confessions out of people.
What are my secret desires then, Dr. Darling? Trying to save people's souls?
In your case, there is no doubt. It is a deep-seated aversion to anything to do with the body.
What I don't understand is where we went wrong with this hypnosis.
Wrong?
We put Lytton under. I made suggestions to him, and yet might as well talk to a brick wall.
You did very well, for an amateur. But that is the point. You are an amateur. Did you mention the fee?
The fee?
Which every patient must pay as a sign of commitment to his or her psychic well-being.
The 5 guineas! Of course! Stupid of me.
I find hypnosis is the ideal time to raise the matter. In fact, the healing process is incomplete if one does not. Of course, one does not want the money. I shall probably donate it to some charitable organization.
Of course, of course.
Genius.
I'm Burlington Bertie. I arrive at
Tempest. Ginny's still hard at it?
A cereal for woman's realm now.
Ah, darlings, all enjoying yourselves?
Why, yes, Virginia.
Good. I'm a terrible hostess, I know, but the wicked squire's about to violate the poor but honest village maiden, and if I don't press on, he'll never get his comeuppance. Bye!
Bye!
That reminds me, should we perhaps arrange a session for Mrs. Wolf? She certainly seems a little different.
She is. I haven't seen her like this ever. Even when we were little.
Of course, she can't be left in this state. She's so...
happy.
Yes.
We must do something about it.
Yes.
Well, yes, obviously.
Yes, and soon, before Dr. Fraud leaves.
For more book signing?
Well, before you leave the country, anyway.
Not that we're rushing you.
I've had a thought. This fee business. Does Ginny have any money, Vita?
Not to hand, no. Have to go to the bank.
Well, you know how long that takes. I suppose we could raise 5 guineas between us. By next week.
Or the week after.
I could perhaps waive the fee just this once.
Oh,
absolutely not.
Meanwhile, why don't we all play charades?
Yes, charades, Sir Lab.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Of the many talented and illustrious people who have assisted in this creation, I am especially indebted to Mr. Toby Longworth, a colossus in his performance as myself, Lytton Strychnine. Miss Sally Grace, who drew deep upon her emotional reserves to portray Mrs. Virginia Woolf. Mr. Nicholas Hardy, unfailingly inventive as Johnny Maynard Coins. Mr. Matthew Bell, never less than brilliant in the role of Clive Pill. Miss Sarah Parkinson, exquisite, as ever, in the part of Mrs. Vanessa Pill. Miss Joanna Brooks, quite glorious as Mrs. Vita Sockville Pest. Mr. Stanley Kowalski, sagacious and cultivated, as Dr. Sigmund Fraud. And Mr. Christopher Emmett, who, with boundless altruism, spoke for those untalented characters suffered under protest. I must also thank Mr. Ivan Shakespeare for his services as amanuensis, while Miss Kim Wilson as production assistant and studio managers Miss Susan Templeman and Messrs. John Whitehall and Ian Harker were all indispensable. Finally, my undying gratitude goes to Miss Elizabeth Anstey, without whose production skills the foregoing would simply not have been possible.